Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show. Today, we are continuing our discussion that we had on Friday about spiritual superficiality. And we have several callers in the queue. So thanks, callers, for joining us. And it looks like several of you are new. So we will be taking calls at about 15 to 20 minutes after the show begins. So please keep your place in line, because we do take calls in the order they are received. For those of you who haven't already done so, please do join us on Facebook, Neil and Kristen Baker, and you can like Neil Baker Psychic on Facebook as well, and that account can be found via the Neil and Kristen Baker site. Of course, there's a Twitter account, and you can follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio by clicking on that follow button under our profile, our show profile name. 562-596-7818 is the phone number that you would call if the radio show cannot accommodate additional questions. It's pretty much one question per caller. So if you have additional questions, please do call that number. And for those that are listening and considering calling in today, 914-338-0164 is our listener line. But on Friday, I believe we left off, Neil, at the idea of simplicity. And, you know, simplicity is great, but there's got to be knowledge behind it. Because if you're just simple, without knowledge, then it, you know, we veer into the realm of ignorance.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I'm always drawn to the dialogue and exchange of ideas that goes on in the psychic world. And sometimes when I read correspondences and analysis and things like this, that people who profess to be psychic are describing certain things in very simplistic terms. I'm overwhelmed by the ignorance of what they're using in terms of knowledge and words. For instance, I ran across an article that someone was basing the idea of how to extract oneself from the ego in order to be spiritual. Now, that's a generally
great
appropriate premise.
Sure.
But the way that the writer was describing the ego was totally ignorant of what the ego really means when we talk about the separation of ego from spirit. In one respect, you can't separate the ego from spirit. Now, I myself have talked about it, but I know what I'm talking about. When I hear these other articles that are going on, it's just somewhat kind of absurd. The ego itself, let's get it plain. The ego itself is a psychological term. It's part of basically the psychic apparatus that reacts to the outside world. So it's cushioned between the id, which is our primitive
base
impulses.
Desires, right?
Base desires are primitive. Our subconsciousness, our primitive energies, and our super egos, which is our moral, our consciousness, the policeman of our psyche. And so the ego is basically the mediator between the two, and it becomes the more or less the expression of who we are as people. It's our self-image, it's our feelings, it's our self-esteem. So to say to extract the ego from the spirit is the way people are saying it. They think an ego is kind of how you boast. It's how you
brag
about
yourself.
But
the ego is a part of every person on the planet. When you're in the body, the ego is going to be a part of your spiritual expression.
Yes. It's the conscious mind. It's our conscious mind. It's how we group all of the aspects together between our lower primitive energies, our impulses, what we really think, what we'd like to do, the rulership over what our morals and ethics are, and then basically the expression is our ego. And it starts from birth onwards. And we really can't separate ourselves from the ego when we're talking about spirit if we understand the true concept of what the ego is. So this one writer was talking that you have to let go of your ego. How do you let go of your ego? He's totally ignorant. This writer was totally ignorant. You can't let go of your ego if you're going to be using your ego as a form of consciousness towards spirituality.
Right. So it's about separating lower instincts or too much absorption with the desires of the self and raising the ego to a higher.
Well, yes, but you need it. It's like saying, well, I'm not going to drive the car with it because I don't want the steering wheel. The ego is the steering wheel. The ego is what steers us through life. It basically controls our thoughts and behaviors because it acts as a mediator.
Right. So if our thoughts and behaviors become focused on selfishness, relationships, lower desires, I mean, vanity.
And too much superego becomes too restrictive, becomes too regulated by rules and regulations, and it doesn't have room for any sense of analysis in terms of what is a good balance and a good place of mediation. Like I said, the ego is the steering wheel of the car. It's our consciousness that it drives us towards spirituality. So it's the basically without the ego, if you just have an id, then your sense of spirituality can become destructive. Hitler could have said, I was talking with spirit. And if you're overregulated with the ego and you go into superego spiritualism, then you become like a strict, like Jehovah's Witness. You're just like, this is the way it is, no other way, blah, blah, blah. And that becomes an off balance of energy too. So we have to describe the true essence of what spirit is and still apply the word ego without abusing it and using it as a common popular term that everyone seems to be doing without understanding what the word means. If you're going to say, I don't want to boast, and I don't want to be egotistical and to the extent that I'm arrogant. But I don't think really people understand the true concept of what consciousness is. And this is something you have to learn academically. So I would advise people who are out there writing articles about the ego to first study what the ego is so that when you're writing, you sound halfway intelligent and one can who is educated can comprehend and understand what you're trying to say without abusing it and turning it into something that one would deem as spiritual, but really it's nonsense. So we've got to get that part clear. Another thing about the superficiality of spiritual energy is what I've experienced with people use with numbers. I just ran across an article about the numerology of house addresses, that you come to a certain amount of numbers and you get a house address, and then that tells you what the house is all about.
So let's talk about that, because we all have a master number in terms of our birth dates, and of course you can come up with a master number of a house and reduce the number, you add all the numbers together, reduce it to one single number. Now, the limitations of a single number being assigned to a home, residence, or even a person it's just oversimplifying the true content. A house number has several numbers within it. So all those numbers need to be analyzed. Moreover, you can't reduce it to a single paragraph. I mean, the information and content of a single number is so vast it just cannot be simplified in such a way.
No, absolutely not. You can't just get, people think numerology is getting to one number and then like on a postcard describing what that number means. It's more than that. A birth date, the numbers of an address that come to a form, the one number is composed of numbers, which is composed of chakras, which is composed of past lives and karma. And you have to understand the whole language of that energy. It's just like when people say the ego is just merely self-absorption or self-pride. It's the same thing. You don't say, well, a three is this, or a four is that, or a five is that. Or if you live in a house that's a five, it's this. First of all, when you're living in a house, you're dealing with the karma of the land that has nothing to do basically with the number.
Right, and not only that, but if you're a renter, the karma of the people that own the house, or you're dealing with the energy of the people that previously occupied it if you were a homeowner. So there's all these different factors. Not only that, but it's your karma with the land that you're on. Who knows what happened on that land in a past life?
That's right.
So there's many, many factors.
And it all depends on, you know, when you're using those numbers, what are you relating it to chakras? Are you relating it to number systems that have a duality? You have to understand that there's every number has a duality. Every number has a chakra system. And then there are numbers beyond the chakras of the media body.
So right. And then some lower numbers correspond to those higher numbers. And so those all have to be evaluated, of course.
Also, the dates. There may be a reason why you're moving into a certain residence. There may be, and that has nothing to do with the number of the address itself. So we've reduced spirituality to such a common language that it seems like you can go to the Hallmark store and
right.
pick a card off the rack and you understand spirituality by these little anecdotes and platitudes about what basically spirit is. And it can't be reduced in that form of simplicity.
Right. And, you know, we obviously do a lot of our promotion, Neil, on Facebook of our show and of the articles that we write. And a lot of times in the feed, there are a lot of those platitudes, photographs, and they're nice. I mean, it's nice to have inspirational messages coming across your screen, but spirituality is so much more than that. It's so much more than that. I came across a post yesterday of someone who was, you know, doing a self-described rant about how, you know, our spiritual journeys are our own and why do other people criticize other spiritual paths and criticize other teachers. You know, we're not on here to do a rant of our own. It may sound like we're doing a rant. I'm not sure. But, you know, if we cannot be critical of things that are, you know, if you're an expert in a field and you cannot criticize we have to have critical thought is what I'm trying to say. We have to have critical thought and be discerning about the information that we come across. And it's so dangerous. I mean, there are so many people, it's dangerous when people profess to know how chakras work, how communication with the other side occurs, and when they don't have a real grasp of those concepts or ideas. And it's important, I think, if you're an educated person, to be able to criticize those points. Because it's downright dangerous for people who are out there seeking advice and help.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm all for the raw intuition factor. I was a little boy and I was a psychic, so I understand that base level of energy and that base level of just being sheer intuitive or psychic. But I spent over 45 years so far. I'm much older than that, but I've spent at least a good solid 45 years every day, 8 hours a day of study in the realm of psychic energy and chakras and systems and things like this. And I'm still learning.
Right. It's a lifelong process.
It's a lifelong process. It's a process of eternity. Your soul is forever. We're just not basically here at the beginning of a birth date, and we leave at the end of a birth date, and then we go to heaven. we're on a long, long, long journey. And this long journey is an accumulation of knowledge. And no, we're not sitting here boasting about what our ideas. We're representing, if you will, the science of psychic energy.
And it is a science, even though it's a subjective science.
It's a subjective science. Well, metaphysically speaking, it's a science. And in the realm of parapsychology, it's a science when you get when you probe into the mind. I mean, medicine can also have some form of intuition because we get into the idea of plants and where it comes from. And if we base our energy in terms of medicine in its original source, it comes from a very primitive place, just as the months are based on fables and gods and goddesses and things like this. Different areas of the celestial sphere. So we forget that we come, science is based first on intuition. And so we have that original origin thought. But as we develop it and what comes into play is empirical evidence. We have to take it into the lab and we have to be able to repeat it over and over again. And that's where the division occurs because we get into an elusive energy. How can you put God into the lab? How can you define God on an empirical level? You simply can't. So, of course, science has to let go and just call it superstition or whatever, you know, wishful thinking, you know, prayer, faith. But these are not elements of science. When we get into the realm of the psyche and true spirituality, we're still taking a concept of science because it's got to be proven to some extent. You just can't express ideas that sound wonderful. Oh, I see the Archangel Michael behind you. Well, sometimes when people say that, I've got to laugh because this is just because you say it doesn't mean it's
right. Well, and how do we differentiate between our own imaginations and what's actually occurring? And you know, that takes, like we said, study, knowledge, deep study about the astral realm, and a dedication to
and
refining
that.
Your abilities. You know, intuitive readings are great, but we all have intuition. If you're going to go to an expert, they're going to have a deep understanding of a wide array of aspects of this world.
Yeah, that's true. And then even beyond that, it's more than knowledge. It's somehow a miraculous connection that
right.
you have. And
it
that's
is,
where it gets
of course.
Confusing. And for those psychics or people out there that profess to be channelers or whatever, I'm not saying that you can't be simplistic. And I'm not saying that you can't have a divine connection with something higher and truly speak to that energy and receive information. I'm not saying that can't be done. But what I'm saying is we've got to look at the concrete, also the concrete evidence of what truly the language we're using, and not to abuse it with just these stupid statements that really, really hurt the idea of psychic energy.
Right, and
it
I think
help.
We answered a question the other day about psychics, and it was on, I don't know, I think it was a comment on our show that we were posting, and it was regarding psychics that have hurt the field and so on and so forth, because they're making grandiose claims and things like that. Well, you know, someone who is an excellent psychic will have a proven track record. I mean, there's going to be obvious characteristics that make it, you know, clear that someone is an expert.
Yeah. Back in the, biblical days, if you made a prediction, you were wrong. You were stoned to death. It was a dangerous situation.
Well, let's be clear. Not everybody's going to be 100% accurate all
absolutely
the time.
Not. Not every doctor is going to save every life, and not every psychic is going to make sheer accurate predictions. We're human beings, and there's only one energy, in my estimation, that is downright flawless, and that's God. So I'm not, for my own platform, I'm not professing to be 100% accurate, and I'm not professing to be the judgment of how other psychics act. But still, there's got to be a stage in the dialogue where there's critical analysis, where there's rational thinking in our world, and the proper usage of words.
And there's a balance in the lives of the people that you're dealing with. So, I mean, as a warning or a word of caution to those who are seeking psychic assistance, the person that you're seeking psychic assistance from is going to have a balanced life. If they're going to be a good source of information. I mean, you don't profess to be able to give readings and your life's a mess. I mean, that's really my personal view, you know.
It's not a good indication. You're right. I mean, if you're giving psychic readings and you're begging for help or whatever, it's not the best source to go to. Check out your psychics. Make sure they're grounded. They have their head on straight. They're very sure about things. And also notice how they seek the outside world. What feeds their ego? Do they have to go on and post pictures of themselves every day? Is that spirituality? Spirituality is a state of omnipresence, omniscience. You don't need to keep a steady flow of your social profile. That's ego. So you got to be careful of people like that.
Unhealthy ego, because we all have ego.
Right? Unhealthy.
Unhealthy
ego. You just have to be aware. There's nothing, you know, we're not on any bandstand here. We're not trying to criticize, but let's get it straight. If you're going to talk about the quote ego, don't look egotistical in your energy by expressing yourself in frivolous, superficial ways that make you wonder, what does this person want? What's feeding their energy? What are they seeking? And so knowledge is knowledge. Knowledge isn't showcasing and displaying your visual presence on the earth. It's something much deeper than that. And if you're going to conduct yourself in such a way that you're advising and counseling people, act appropriately.
Okay, let's bring on our first caller. Maybe we'll have more time for this Friday. Who knows? 509. Hello.
Hello. Hi, good morning, Kristen. Erica?
Oh, hi, Erica.
Good morning. Hi. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
Erica, what's your birth date again? I know you're 29/11 too.
12/4/93.
Okay, what's your question?
What is it?
12/4/93. 1/5/6/7/17. Well, I had a phone interview yesterday for a summer position. It begins in June. And I just wanted to know, like, how you feel about that. I was a bit hesitant.
Go ahead.
Like, after speaking with her, I just started thinking, like, oh, maybe it's not a good idea because it does require me to move, like, 5 hours. And I already paid my summer rent here. Like, I already paid spring and summer. So, like, I would have to go out and rent somewhere else.
You're not going to get the money back, essentially, for your rent.
No, I'm not. But, okay, I mean, so, overall, though.
So, let's just condense this because we've got a lot of callers, Erica. What's the specific question in regard to the job and the rent?
I decided that I do want to take the job no matter what if I am offered the position. And I was wondering, like, if you do see being offered one of the 7 positions. Her name.
What's the job for?
It's called the Constituents Unit. It's called the Governor's Leadership Academy. And it was a lady that interviewed me.
Okay.
Well, I think she was somewhat impressed with you, Erica. I mean, you're 22 years old and you're still working through an energy of some major positioning of karma until the age of 29. Now, assuming that you're 22, we also have to look at your day and month, which amounts to a 7, 1, 2, 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that energy, well, what you're doing is you're building to an attitude of spirit. Now, when we're building to an attitude of spirit, we're building towards an attitude also of giving to others, of being of service to others. And so you're in a nice position to be in that element. And you have 4 as your fire number, which is heart. So you're really a person that wants to help, wants to be involved, is committed. And I think that this interviewer picked that up about you. So I think you're in a high mm-hmm. category of energy. Now, what we have to do is assume how many other candidates are there. You say there's so many positions, seven positions, I think you said, or five positions. Which is unique, seven positions in your master. You have a zone in there of seven. And how many other souls or how many other people there that have like-minded intentions, such as yourself. But I think she mm-hmm. really liked you, and she felt warm towards you. So you're basically okay. in the category of her higher thoughts. And what we'll do yeah. is Chris and I will put out an energy that maybe you'll receive an acceptance here and move okay. forward. It's a little bit shy of a go ahead.
She at the end, she said that I'm one of her favorite candidates and that she will get back to me within 2 weeks.
Well, that's good validation. It's exactly what Neil said.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I said that. So, okay.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for
she
that.
She likes you.
About the rant,
I'm going to write her I need to write her a thank you letter for her time later today because I've just been busy with like schoolwork.
Yeah.
But I will get
write her a thank you note and put in your sheer intention to be of service, that this is a great opportunity, and that most mm-hmm. of all, if you do get the job, you're ready to perform with excellence. Just say that to her.
Do you think that she wants to meet me in person as well? Like, I don't really know the steps to it. Like, if there
is
more,
it might get to that, Erica. Start off with the note.
Oh,
first.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, perhaps you can find someone to take over your lease, and then you could get a refund of your money. So, I mean, that's an idea too.
I had this high school buddy approach me asking if she can live with me a couple days ago for the summer. So maybe I think it would work perfect if she just picked over.
Yeah, so there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Erica,
all right,
let
thank
us know.
You. Have
okay,
a good
thank
day.
You. You too. Bye-bye. Okay. 215 is our next caller. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Ronald Daly.
I'm hearing my voice back. Do you have a radio on?
Yes, 1 second. Is that better?
Let me see. Yeah, that's good. What your name again, please?
Ronald Dealey.
Ronald.
D-E-E.
No, don't give us your last name. Don't give us your last name. Don't give us your last name.
Oh.
But that's okay. What's your birthday, Ronald?
10/14/1968.
Okay. 16. You're a 30 equals 3, Ronald. 30 equals 3. What brings you to our show today?
With my girlfriend, and I've been curious to call in. Trying to figure out my sole purpose. I don't really know.
You don't really know. Maybe a general reading, perhaps.
Ronald.
Yes.
Is your girlfriend an animal lover?
Yes.
And does she have animals?
Yes. That's
yeah.
my flame.
Got
your,
it.
Your, did uh-huh. you say your twin flame?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. You have a karmic history with your girlfriend.
Do we have her birth date? Obviously,
June
we don't.
June 26th.
Do we have I'm sorry. Go ahead.
June 26th, 1969.
That's 25 or 26?
626.
626.
1969.
Okay, 678. 14. 24. They're the same master number.
Yeah, you're the same master number, just different. This just made up of a different arrangement.
Wait, this is, I know who this is. Ronald, I know who you're. Girlfriend is.
Yes. Yes,
I'm recognizing the mistake.
Oh. Okay. Well, you have a past life history with this person. Okay. So first of all, your souls have connected before. That means that on the earth, you have in another lifetime connected to this person before on the earth. And more than likely, between lifetimes on the celestial astral plane, you have also conversed or interacted with her soul to soul without the body.
So it's like a soulmate connection.
Yeah, at least that. The other part of it is that the element of her having animals, my guide was trying to say to me, well, she's got animals and they're soulmates at least. We'll at least go that far, if not further. But but that's what it is. Now, your hearts are supposed to combine, meaning that your heart energy, Ronald, you're a master number three, and we just talked about how not to simplify.
So we're going to simplify it right now for you.
I'm not going to do that.
No.
What I'm going to do is express to you that you're moving in your world towards an attitude of heart and balance. Heart and balance. Now, in that element of heart and balance with your girlfriend, you're going to go encounter her on not just a sexual level, but on a third eye mystical level. And somewhere within those two realms, you two together will find balance. Now, I believe that there's going to be something deep about her and animals. And somehow you're going to get swept into the animal mystical world through her energy that you might not have gone into otherwise. But she's going to pull you into this to where animal spirit guides are going to be part of your energy. And what I'm saying, Ronald, is that might not been a bit the path you would have normally traveled. It's not going to be your main path, but it's going to be a blending of your energy to help you understand the balance of yourself in relation to the world, if not the universe. So you're going to find your placement in the world in a more balanced sense so that you won't be asking, what is my purpose? First of all, our purpose is to breathe and be conscious of existence and to appreciate the act of being alive. That's our first existential premise. Then it gets into a deeper sense of not only who we are, that we exist, that we express ourselves, but how we express ourselves to our fellow human beings in our form of business and interpersonal relationship, and then how we express ourselves to the stars, to the heavens, to angels, to God. It's a deeper concept. So we're getting more into a philosophical stage, Ronald, to where your question is immediately an important one, but the depth of finding out who you are involves the advancement of your knowledge into the universe. And that doesn't mean you can't be practical. That doesn't mean you can't have a practical job. It just means that in the esoteric field of your brain, you're going beyond the practicalities of life and getting into something deeper. And I believe you're going to find it along with your girlfriend.
Okay.
Well, that was comprehensive in a short amount of time. Hopefully that's helpful to you, Ronald.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, say hi for us.
Will do. Thank you
okay.
so much.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. 916 is our next caller. Hi there. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Wendy from Sacramento.
Hi, Wendy from Sacramento. How are you?
Well, I have a lot going on. My date of birth is 7651, around 7 o'clock in the evening. And I applied online for a call center job at Kaiser Permanente about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember
you. Yes, and I haven't heard anything. And then on Monday, I spoke to a temp agency about a unique opportunity. It's a permanent job. And the
from
rate
permanent
of pay
to permanent.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, yes, both would hopefully be permanent. And this one has a higher start rate of pay than most temp jobs I've seen. So it's unique in the start rate and that it's permanent. It's called TRICARE. Do you see me getting either job or will something else turn up?
Did she say she wanted 51?
51, yeah. And you worked at VSP before. I remember that, right?
Well, I hope I Yeah, I hope I didn't say VSP, but it's a large vision insurance company.
Yeah, you did say it, actually. But I'm sorry I brought it up. Okay.
Well, you know, I may be wrong, but I see you getting the position. Now, I might be wrong.
Which position? There are two. Both positions?
The TRICARE, I think.
The TRICARE, okay.
I think it's the TRICARE, Wendy. I'm stumbling a little bit around this issue, but I think you're going to get, you know, your voice, the energy I'm getting from you sounds very capable. You're very knowledgeable. I don't think this is going to be a factor of age. I think it's a factor of knowledge and expertise. And
okay.
It sounds to me, you know, you have a youthful voice, so
very.
I don't think age is a condition anyways, but I don't think you're going to be judged on a quality of age. You're going to be judged on a quality of your knowledge. Have you been, the job you're seeking, have you been doing this kind of work for at least the last 15 years?
It's very similar. I've been working in a vision insurance call center, but this is more like medical benefits.
But it's the same field. It's the same field, essentially, because it's medical.
In a sense, yes. Yes, it is.
And how long have you been working in this, quote, field?
I had 15 years at the Vision Insurance Company.
15, so it's
so
exactly the number.
That's the number I said, right? Okay, well,
right.
No, I hit the nail on the head, and I guess maybe I'm right. I don't know. It sounds like I'm right.
Yeah.
You know, that's a kind of a validation point. So I said 15 years, you say 15 years, and you know, that's a match. So, who was that guy that played the match game? What was that guy, that game host?
I have
oh,
no
he
idea.
Was so, he was, just,
I think
oh.
his name was Guy something. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. I can see him. He had black hair and a little bit of his overbite.
I'm looking
Gene
it up right now.
Match game.
Gene Rayburn.
Gene. I knew
Gene
it.
Rayburn.
Gene uh-huh. Rayburn. We got a uh-huh. match, you know.
I'm a little. I said some big words when I was speaking to the recruiter, and I just hope that she said, well, there's a class starting in 2 weeks, and then she said there's another one in June, and I said June would be better, and. So I'm looking for longevity and just being treated respectfully, basically.
Well,
so
I don't know.
I only need to work another.
She was saying how long she needs to work. You mean in terms of before you retire, how long?
4 to 5 years. That's all I really need.
That's all she needs.
I don't know. You know, we're going to put, Chris and I work with the people who call. We're going to put out energy. Hopefully you're going to get it. Don't worry about these little details. There's a higher energy source going on. So let's see if we can work it through for you. That'd be great.
We will definitely work on it for you.
Okay. And do you think that Kaiser would also offer, or are they going to take a long time to offer?
I don't know. Like I said, the rings are brief. We're going into the element that you're going to get. You're not going to have two jobs. You're going to have one of the two. So,
right.
Whatever may the best man, woman win. I don't know which one. I'm not sure. We're going to go after both of them. And
okay.
But I feel you're going to land a job here.
Okay. And we got to move on to other callers, Wendy. But we appreciate your
Thank
call
you.
And wish you the best of luck. Please let us know what happens. We always like to know when there's success, okay? Or if there's not.
Thank you.
Okay, so we can tweak things. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to... let everybody know where they stand in the queue. 856 is next, then 315, and then 845. So you're all getting a reading. Let's bring on 856. Hello.
Hey, Gwendolyn. Hi, Neil. It's Gwendolyn. How are you?
Oh, hey, Gwendolyn.
How are you?
Hi.
Oh, I have to tell you. I have to share this with you.
626-69. So it's been revealed, the connection here. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so through guidance, led to the Kings of the Jungle this past weekend. Came upon two of them that I had no, of course, I was led to them, so I had no idea I was going to come upon them. But the, I feel like, okay, I know I was led there. And a writing came out this morning, a very guided writing came out this morning. I feel like it's time to bust a move somewhere, and I'm not really sure where, and I want to find out what the numbers are telling me or what guidance we have here, because I feel like I have to go, I have to start going down a path now. I feel like I've been led in every direction. I believe that coming upon them, of course, that we all know there are no accidents. So
right. Well, let me just make a statement, because you said, you know, what the numbers are telling Neil, and it's so much more than just numbers. So I want to mention that, you know, it's more than just a code. That's just a launching point for the deeper psychoanalysis that's going to take place. It's not just numerology that we're doing here. So, okay. What numbers are we looking at, though? I mean, your numbers, or is there numbers associated with this?
There were the two. Okay, there were two lions, and I ended up being guided to them, just split out of nowhere, of course, as you know how things happen. So, to me, they signify, and there was the roar as we had to be separated, because as soon as I saw them, it was breathtaking. It was as if a oneness occurred, and it was like zing. Hurry up, no, I'm here, get proof I'm here, and I want out. And that's what I got from that, and it just has not stopped. It has stayed with me. So a channeled writing had popped out this morning, very guided. So I'm saying, okay, what path am I going down? Where is this path? Because to me, there's some significance to my finding them, and that roar from the jungle that you have never heard in your entire life.
Okay, we've got to hurry because we've got other callers. So, Neil, do you have a question, Neil?
I'm not sure where what the immediate question is.
So what's the specific question, Gwendolyn?
Okay, I have to go down a life path here, and I have to take this somewhere. I can't keep internalizing.
Right, but can you give us more specifics? I mean, because it's a little bit hazy. Is there a choice? I mean, something concrete.
I mean, sacred choices, right? To create.
Okay, but
and
is there
anything
more specific about the choices or what's presenting itself to you? Because that might help. Yeah.
Yeah, and the I've been given choices of maybe web, blog writing, of course the book, poems, a lot of writing, and I'm not sure. Do I do this and keep going on the one that I started yesterday and do this on my own path, on my own, but I know it's a collaboration on the whole.
I mean, she's got a five in her karmic side. So
do you want to, are you meaning to be published?
I believe that eventually it is supposed to be published. No, I don't believe it. I know that it is. But it's in collaboration with. So it's who am I? I'm not really sure which avenue to collaborate with, although I know of the soul circle I'm in.
Well, I would continue with the process of what you started yesterday.
Okay.
And move forward on that right now, Gwendolyn.
Okay.
You're going to find somewhere near the middle of May, there's going to be a shift in the writing, and that shift will elevate you to more of a public connection, which could come in the form of another person coming in. So you've got to work diligently between now and for about, let's say, the next 4 weeks.
Okay.
Working out this element of writing and perfecting it from the source of what you started yesterday and getting that together. And then right around the middle of May, I would expect some factor in the universe to start to intervene and connect, and then you're going to be seeing a shift after that. Those 4 weeks of intensive writing are through.
And is that the May? Is that relating to the five factor in her karma?
Well, in this regard, to some extent.
I mean, since you asked about the numbers.
question.
Yeah. Well, your karmic element is the accumulation of five, which means that you're utilizing the fifth chakra through the idea of third eye and sexual, meaning relationship energy.
Six, two.
So that relationship, mm-hmm. as I was explaining to Ronald, that relationship is all about the development of self in the world, self in the cosmos, connected to the third eye, metaphysical, all that kind of thing. So just move forward on that level.
Got you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Keep us posted.
Will do. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay. And
how many callers left?
Two callers left. 315 and 845. So 315 is next, then 845. Thanks for being patient, both of you. Who's this? 315.
This is Annette from New York.
Hi, Annette.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Could we get your birth date, please?
12/13/1959.
7/17 and 4. Is that right?
31/4.
31/4. What brings you to the show, Annette?
I'm wondering about my relationship. It was going really well, and to the point that we were looking at a house to buy together and found a house that we liked, and 3 days later, he asked me to leave.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm devastated. And I'm
sorry to hear that. Do you have his birthday by any chance?
September 6, 1959.
September what?
6, 1969. 16th, I mean. I'm sorry, 15th. I have two birthdays in September.
Okay, so
September 16th.
15th.
16th.
16. 1-6. Oh, 1-6. Thank you. It's hard. Sometimes hard to hear.
19 what?
Okay.
And that's 5-9.
Thank you. Yeah. 15,
26. 40. 40 equals 4. Guys, they're the same.
Same
master number.
Same
but
master
different
number, but code, different
obviously.
Karmic number.
Yeah, 40 and 31.
Annette. Did he ever or does he now, either one, ever smoke cigarettes?
Yeah, he smoked, and when we broke up, he asked his doctor to put him on Chantix because he does have that addiction. And
yeah, that's what I'm picking up on. Well, the problem you're having, Annette, with this man is that he's not stable.
Mm-hmm.
So If you got what you asked for, you'd be living in a world of instability because he's not stable. And so in one respect, okay, you feel good. Okay, we have the home. Everything's great. 1, 2, 3 years down the line, instability erupts. And you're going, oh, my God, why did I ever go this far? Oh, now look. So I think that what you're... as a person, you're being confronted with a sense of instability. Now, that's not a judgment call on him. I hope this person comes to a place of stability, equilibrium, and then he's okay, because the both of you occupy the same master number, which means that somewhere in the depth of the content of your relationship with him, there's a heart, there's a balance, and there's a beautiful union. But until this person can stabilize himself, there's going to be erratic behavior, and anything can trigger that instability to erupt. And that's why you're shocked and thrown out of the water, is turbulent. And that's because there isn't stability. And I'm basing this on the validation of just his cigarette smoking alone, which opens up to me a deeper analysis of his psyche, and therefore able to tell you that it's due to this instability. So it's not like he's the wrong person. It's not like there's bad luck. It's a state of equilibrium and stability which threw you out of there, although underneath that, there is a journey to behold for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
But not until then, because you're going to be in trouble with this person until that point is reached.
Mm-hmm. He's just like, it went from one extreme to the other. Now I'm just totally cut off. And this, you know, it's like, what happened? You know what I'm saying? I'm just totally confused, totally.
No, you're not. Not totally confused. If you're listening to me, there's no confusion. His behavior describes impeccably what I'm telling you. He's not stable. And that's mm-hmm. because of his psyche. There's something in this man's energy that he hasn't overcome and internalized in the sense that he's stable. So mm-hmm. it's not bewildering. It shouldn't be bewildering to you. It's like you got a pit bull that you compact and then suddenly he bites you. It's the state right. of the creature. And there's mm-hmm. nothing to overanalyze here. It's just what it is. And, you know, and he needs to go into the training of stability with self so that he can actualize himself in such a way and appreciate you and love you and not hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, okay. he can be abusive.
Okay, can I ask you a question? Could this be from a previous breakup that he had that he didn't break up with her, she broke up with him?
Of course. There's always a trail. Yes. Mm-hmm. And when someone isn't stabilized, they move forward with wound and pain and karma. So yes, we can suggest that previous relationships and experiences have helped to formulate his current state of being. But mm-hmm. someone who's stable won't allow past experiences to destroy their psyche in such a way that they continue to hurt people. Or respond
right.
in such a way that they're so sensitive now they can't function, and mm-hmm. or they function in a way that just expresses a negative defensive attitude and passive aggressive mm-hmm. energies. So yes, we can say that, but that still, you want health. You want to be with a healthy person is what ultimately you want, regardless of mm-hmm. what the karma is.
Right. So okay.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're so welcome, Annette.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Okay, last caller is 845. Hi.
Hi, this is Precious.
Precious? What's your name?
Precious.
Precious?
Yeah, Precious, yep.
Okay.
What's your birthday?
My birthday is 11/4/94.
Okay.
So I've been having this friends with benefits relationship with someone, and he's told me he hasn't lied to me about having sex with someone, but I feel like he's lied to me about that. And I've also been told that we're soulmates, so I'm not too sure where this could be going.
Who told you that?
A few psychics have told me.
Well, soulmates is a cheap word. I mean, soulmate just means that your souls have been connected before. It has nothing to do with moral ethics. You know, you hope for
and
the best.
And it's generally a connection. It's not a karmic connection. I mean, there's a karmic connection usually with soulmates, but usually soulmates means the souls have connected on the astral realm together.
Yeah.
Before they came into the body.
So, you know, because of your soulmates can kill each other, more or less love each other. And friends with benefits, well, that's your personal choice. If you want to have a friends with benefits, it's just a personal choice. It's what you're comfortable with. If you're comfortable with that, then you have friends with benefits and you either enjoy it or you pay the consequences, however it goes. But to me, friends with benefits is sort of a greedy energy. I mean, if you're going to commit to somebody. Friends with benefits is a sort of easy way of being a human being. It's the pleasure principle. And it's not really taking into account what the depth of really connecting to a human being is all about, which is really about commitment, sincerity, honesty, integrity. That kind of thing, exclusiveness,
mm-hmm.
that's really the best parts of being a human being. The rest is just the kind of the dump pile. We can all live off the dump pile, but that doesn't mean it's a good diet. So I don't know. If I were you, Precious, I would reconsider my own self-esteem and think hard about what it really means to be committed to a person and what it means to be special, or you're bound to get hurt. Unless you yourself thinks that friends with benefits is the greatest thing and nothing affects you otherwise. But if it's affecting you, then your heart is telling you something different than what your mind is telling you.
Right. Is there any way I can give you guys his birthday?
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe. Okay, so his birthday is March 30th, 1994.
March 30th?
1994. Interesting.
Yep.
They're the same
number.
Yeah.
They're the same. This is so weird because we've had three sets of people with the same numbers today.
Yeah.
Couples.
Well, you
funny
know,
how people group
there's
together.
Your answer to possibly the soulmate, but who cares? Who cares? I mean, soulmate. People think, oh, my soulmate. So what? Big deal.
Yeah, soulmate and twin soul are different. We want to
they're different.
Differentiate. But even still.
Soulmates are fine, but my gosh, people use it like, oh, my God, we're soulmates.
Like it's the end-all, be-all
yeah.
of existence. But we can have many soulmates. That's
you can
thing.
Have
many,
many soulmates and soulmates.
You
yin,
know, you
yang,
can, your
yeah.
mother can be your soulmate, your brother can be your soulmate.
That doesn't impress me so much. What you know, you both are working through the ego of sexuality. You have a dark karma in sexuality,
which
and
pertains
you're working
to the 29, right?
Yeah,
the 29-11 too.
So for some reason, you're both trying to meet on a sexual level, and understand how to bring that to the heart and the balance of a good, healthy relationship. Now, I will say this, Precious, the game plan is that you're supposed to meet, which you have, you're supposed to get it together, which you have, but you're supposed to formulate a balanced heart, which you haven't done yet. So that's what's left in your journey with this person. And if you can get there, good for you. If you can't, I would say drop out of the race and find a heart energy that appreciates your heart, you appreciate their heart, and at the same time, you don't seek other benefits. You're complete within yourself if you're looking for that kind of soulmate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that help, Precious?
Yeah, it does help.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, well, we're back on the air on Friday. We're out of callers and
okay.
out of time. So we will speak with all of you then. Thank you so much.